Hello, welcome back to This Expat Life. And today's episode is not going to be for everyone. This episode is for the aspiring business owners who live abroad or who have a very global life and travel a lot. Or for the expat entrepreneurs who already have their business but who want to grow it a bit more. And I decided to record this episode because yesterday evening I hosted a free call. I only posted about it on my email and Instagram for those who aspire to be globe-trotting CEOs, as I call them. Those expats or global players who want to have or grow their business while still maintaining that global life. And it was such a nice call. A few people attended. We had really nice conversations. And I thought, why not share it also with you, what I was sharing yesterday evening, so that more people can hopefully use it as inspiration or as practical tips. So today I want to share about the four pillars that I think you need to become a successful globetrotting CEO. The globetrotter CEO, that's the identity I have for you guys. And I'm just going to bring up my presentation I used yesterday for my notes. So the reason why I started talking about this topic is because I'm a global entrepreneur myself. And I wasn't born this way. In my previous career, I was actually a diplomat. I was a civil servant working abroad in Brazil and also at the headquarters in The Hague. And it's very, very different from what I do now as a life coach, working exclusively with expats and also really as an entrepreneur. And by the way, before I became a diplomat, I was working in a corporate job in London. So I had some experience in the corporate field, but nothing like an entrepreneur. And I really had to learn a lot. So 3.5 years ago, I quit my job to become a coach full time. And in those 3.5 years, I have learned so much. I made so many mistakes and I also, you know, had great successes. But the mistakes and the lessons learned were definitely there. And I was thinking like, hey, what did it take for me to successfully grow my business? That's one side. But also to live and continue my global life. Because it's one thing to be an entrepreneur and to have business strategies and to make it all work within your business. But it's another thing to do that while you're traveling so much or while you live abroad and you don't have your trusted circle around you and you live in a country that you maybe not fully understand. You need different kind of skills. And I've come to this point that I'm now able to do that. I have my successful business and I have my global life still. Because when I quit my job as a diplomat, I was very clear about one thing. I will continue to travel. I will continue to work from abroad. And I will continue to work with international people as well. And I have succeeded in that. So today I'm going to talk about those four pillars that I think you need to have both the business part and the global life part successfully, plus two extra things that I think you need underneath as well. And I'll just share a little bit about what has worked for me and what I see happening and give you a tip as well. So if you are a business owner living abroad or traveling, or if you have been thinking about starting your business while you live abroad or while you're traveling, this episode is for you. So let's just dive into it, shall we? All right. The first pillar that I think you need, and you want to start with this one, is to have a niche. And you want your niche to be nichey, is that the word? Specific. So right now, my niche is high-achieving expats and global players. But I didn't start with this niche. When I started as a life coach, I said I was working with expats, digital nomads, and other globetrotters, which seems specific, but it's actually still quite broad because it targets a lot of like internationally minded people, but the people within that niche are actually pretty different. A digital nomad is very different from a CEO who lives abroad and leads a company. And a globetrotter with, you know, van life and everything is also very different from a diplomat, let's say. And so a couple of months in, I was realizing, okay, this niche is too broad for me and I actually don't want to work with just travelers or digital nomads without a lot of ambition, if I can say. And so I specified it to expats because I realized this is really my target audience because I used to be like that. I was an expat myself a couple of times in 4 different countries. I lived abroad for over 8 years, and I always did that with like a steady career and a good job. And so I started focusing on expats. But then I had a few phone calls with people that I realized these are really not my favorite clients. I could work with them, but it doesn't light up my heart. And what I realized is that my real niche are these super ambitious, high achieving expats. And this is not about a job title per se. Ambition is not captured in a title. It's really about the person that they are. They're hardworking, they're pretty rational, they are ambitious, they like to do things well, and they take responsibility for what they do. And they often prioritize their career. So it's now those kind of people that I focus on. And the more I did that, the more success I had, and also the more fun I had. Because it seems, if you're starting and you're new to business, it seems a bit counterintuitive that the more niche you go, the more you narrow down your target client or audience, the more success you will get. Because you may think, hey, but if I'm narrowing down too much, there might not be enough people. But that's really not the case. Because the more specific you are, the more you can also talk to the people and they will feel understood. So if you try to speak to everyone, you will speak to no one. Because you'll be vanilla. And people don't like vanilla. I know one person, my uncle, whenever we go to the ice cream store, he gets the vanilla flavor, but everyone else that I know gets chocolate, gets mango, gets stracciatella, whatever, all kinds of flavors, but vanilla. Vanilla is okay. Everyone will accept vanilla, but no one will really choose vanilla. So if you are trying to please or speak to a big group, you're gonna vanillaize, is that a word? You're gonna make your message more vanilla, and the result is that you won't really speak to any of those individuals, really. So the more specific you can be in your niche, the more you can narrow it down, the more success you will have, because those people will feel really, really understood by you. So yesterday in our call, there was another woman, also a life coach, also working with expats. And she was focusing on women and then ambitious women. And she was also now narrowing it down to ambitious women who feel a bit lost in their identity abroad. I was like, that's good, because ambitious women abroad, you know, yes, you can do that. Or initially she said women abroad, but it's still a bit like broad. So ambitious is already better. But if you can also capture their problem really well, this identity shift, that's when you start to speak to them. So obviously, in my messaging, I tailor a lot more to those high-achieving expats. It's just like a quick phrase that I have, but in my messaging, I'm really specific about who I target. So the more you can do that, the more you will speak to them and the more clients you will get, and also the more fun you will have, as I said. Because once I started choosing the clients that really light up my heart, you know, I had a lot more fun in my business, because now all of a sudden, all my clients are that way. Because I speak so much to them that the right people come to me. And so I've been really seeing this significant change ever since I started narrowing down my niche. And that would also be my suggestion to you if you're just starting. Pick a niche. And don't worry about it being too narrow or if you're not sure about it, because the narrowing down is good. And afterwards, you can always broaden up again if you achieved a lot of success and you have a bigger name. The other way is more difficult, but it's also not static. It can evolve over time, just like my niche did. And I'm not even sure if high achieving expats is the niche I'm going to focus on for the next 5 years. I might change it again in 3 years because I pivot all the time. So don't feel too much pressure on deciding your niche. Just pick something that you enjoy, that you think also has a market. That's another important one. And just start taking action on it. And you'll see that the more you can speak to that niche, the more successful you will become. And I hope you do not hear all the background noise. There's a lot going on in my street at the moment, but I think the microphone is pretty good. Okay, pillar number 2 is to pick a strategy. So if I just use myself, my business as an example, there are so many strategies I can choose from. I can go the corporate route and talk to companies about coaching their expats. I can use social media. I can use Google Ads or Meta Ads. I can start a podcast. I can go to networking events or create my own events to get more clients. These are all strategies. And I've used all of them. But because there are so many strategies, it also leads to confusion sometimes. Hey, is the strategy that I'm using now the right one? What if all of a sudden it doesn't bring in the leads anymore? Like, what should I focus on? There is so much to choose from. And for some people, they might abandon ship and go from strategy A to strategy B and C and D and E and F all the time. In my case, I was just adding things on top of each other. So I was like, okay, my first strategy was Instagram. Then I did LinkedIn. Then I also did a podcast, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I reached a point a year and a half ago that I was like, ooh, I'm almost burned out. I need to be careful. And so I took a break of a month or a couple of months where I was only focusing on my email and podcast. No, not even podcast, just on my email and LinkedIn. Anyway, so with so many strategies possible, which one do you choose? And they're all good. You know, it's not like one strategy is better than the other, but it's about what strategy works best for you and your offer. So I'm not mentioning your offer here in the pillar, but obviously I suppose that when you want to start a business, you have an idea of what you want to sell, the service, etc. So I'm just talking about like the extra things that you need to have that successful business and global life. So with so many strategies, what do you choose? So I like to work with one strategy for at least 90 days. And this is twofolded. One is that you have just one strategy that you can focus on. So this helps you a lot with focus and with saying no to other opportunities, to doubt when they come up, because doubt will come up. Or maybe all of a sudden a strategy isn't working that much anymore. So you start to question yourself again, like, oh, should I just add something else? No, you have one strategy for this period of time that you're focusing on and you stick to it. So it gives a lot of peace of mind. The other thing is that it's for 90 days at least. So I learned this from my business mentor, James Wetmore. In his program, we work with 90-day goals. So every quarter. So every quarter we set our goals, but we also pick one launch strategy that will help us reach our goals. Now, I'm using launches specifically for the Copilot, for example, which is starting again next month. And I'm using webinars to get people into the Copilot. But I have also a rolling basis for my one-on-one coaching. But the thing here is that we pick one strategy for 90 days and we stick to it for 90 days. And so emotions will come up, as I said, just like with the stock market, you know, emotions will come up and maybe you want to sell everything altogether or leave everything altogether. But knowing that you're going to stick to it for 90 days helps you stay your course. And it also helps you to see whatever happens simply as data without any emotion attached to it. It simply works or it doesn't work. It's very easy. And so the highs and lows that you can experience as an entrepreneur are going to matter less because you're just going to be focused on the numbers within those 90 days. And so I had a few, you know, some of the things that I did last year that were really successful, gave me 10K months, you know, sold out my events, etc., aren't working that well this year anymore because of changes in the algorithm, because of changes, whatever. And so it would be very easy to be like, okay, this isn't working. I need to change something. Oh, but I tell myself, no, you know, I'll just sit this out and I'll see after 90 days whether this has worked or not. Now, in between, I make some changes like in my ad budget, for example, or I tweak something. It's more tweaks than real big changes. The strategy just doesn't change, it's just the tactics. But even there, I wait at least a week or at least a month that to make sure I have enough data coming in to make an objective decision about my next move. So this is why I really tell you to have one strategy for at least 90 days that you can focus on, so you can really remove the emotion from the equation and see it as objective data that helps you or that informs you to make a decision. Now, if you want to learn about all these strategies, I mean, the whole internet is full of it. Like, there's so much that you can choose from. If you are a coach like me, you can start a podcast, you can go on social media, you can use ads, you can go the corporate route. I'm sure there is much more. You can do webinars, video, YouTube, whatever. There's so much available. And also for other types of businesses, I'm sure there are so many strategies available that I'm not even aware of. So my tip here also is to get support and hire a coach, a mentor, a business program that will teach you about these strategies. And I highly recommend the program for my business mentor, James Wetmore, because it is just wonderful. It's like a library of strategies and of so much more. I still go back to that program every time, for every quarter, to pick one of the strategies there. And I'll put it in the link in the show notes. All right, that was pillar number two. And pillar number three, that's mindset and habits. The right mindset and habits. And the mindset work, you know, it's the least tangible one, but in my opinion, it's the most important one. Because being an entrepreneur, now, if you think that being an expat is uncertain and a roller coaster, wait till you are an entrepreneur. And wait till you are an entrepreneur abroad or traveling all the time. Because it's a wild roller coaster of highs and lows. And you will question yourself. You will doubt yourself. You may want to throw in the towel. You may want to quit. You will feel alone. You will feel misunderstood. So much will happen. Also the good things, by the way, because when you reach your first successes, you will feel on top of the world. And as you grow your revenue, you start to feel steadier and you start to learn to think bigger, etc. But there are highs and a lot of lows. And you need to be able to carry yourself in that roller coaster ride. You need to be able to rely on yourself so that in a way that you can still perform and that you can also not be captured in negative thinking and doom scenarios or just having a very negative outlook for the future. You want to be in a positive mindset, an empowering one, one that sees opportunities, one that has a lot of space for creativity and not with tension. And so this mindset work is so important. It is so key to become that successful Globetrotter CEO. And this is especially the case if you are abroad without your trusted inner circle. And so I felt as an entrepreneur, and I still feel misunderstood by my family and some friends, because they're not entrepreneurs, but they always have their opinion ready. I never listen to their advice, rarely, the occasional person sometimes, like my sister. But most of the times I don't listen to their advice because they're not entrepreneurs. So I take advice from people who are ahead of me. But however, they still vocalize their opinion or their advice. And so you need to deal with that too. So sometimes, especially in the beginning, I got questions like, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you don't want to have a part-time job next to it, et cetera, et cetera? Those questions can make you feel wobbly, you know, if you're not entirely confident about your business and your skills. And a lot of us have imposter syndrome. Those kind of comments can make you wobble even more. And so therefore, and it can feel very alone, it can feel very unsure, you might want to go back to safety, I don't know. So you want to be super sure, not of yourself, but like within yourself and of your choices. And that's where the mindset work comes in, because that is key. Entrepreneurship, like expat life, brings up beliefs that we have about ourselves, about the other, whoever that is, and about the world. And what we see happening in our lives, the triggers that we respond to, are just reflections of what we believe. And if with every little setback, you start to think, oh, I'm not good enough, you know, you need to work on that belief, because those setbacks will happen. It's life. But you need to work on those beliefs so that these events aren't setbacks anymore, but just events, data, lessons learned, etc. So this mindset work is super important. And someone that I look up to always says, having a business is the ultimate personal development game. And I couldn't agree more, because it's really that. My personal growth skyrocketed the moment I became an entrepreneur. And it's not just about numbers and your offer and your niche. It's also really about what is going on inside of you. Can you remove your emotions from the equation? Can you support yourself to stay in high vibes even when things are happening in your life, but you need to show up for your clients? Can you believe in yourself even if the outer world isn't reflecting the opportunities that you want and need? That is so important. And also, you really want to make sure that your numbers don't mean anything about you. Your numbers, you know, revenue, etc., is just that. It's numbers, it's data. And it doesn't say anything about you as a person, about your worth, your value, etc. However, often what we do is that we attach meaning to those numbers, personal meaning about us. And this is where you need to remove that link as well. It's just data. And it doesn't say anything about you as a human being. That's super important, but it takes personal development work as well to get there. And also what I think here is this is not a quick fix. Personal growth takes time, patience, repetition. You'll fall into the same traps over and over again until you learn your lesson. And you also really need time to fully embody your new identity as a Globetrotter CEO that has the right beliefs, the right thoughts, and also takes the right actions. So if you continue to see yourself as, I don't know, an employee or just someone who does something, you know, with a little business, this is not going to help you if you want to create that global business or at least work globally. So you need to step into that new identity that you want to embody, but that takes inner work. So my tip here again is to hire someone who can do this for you. I've hired mentors from the start, and almost all of them, and also all the business programs I've done, they all make a lot of space for this mindset work as well. So this was the perfect combination for me, but also a necessary one. But it's not just about mindset, because as an entrepreneur abroad, you also need habits that serve you as a Globetrotter CEO. Because it's very easy to get lost in distraction or in chaos. So yesterday I was talking to someone in the call who lives in Rio, and she's like, I want to really get my business going, but I don't know how to prioritize it because there's just so much to do here. And I also want to enjoy my time in Rio, and I want to prioritize my health and dance and my social life, etc. And I get it. I've been there myself as well. It's very easy to get lost in distraction abroad, although usually that's not the biggest challenge for me because I like to work. But I sometimes get lost in chaos because if you travel all the time, you know, there's a lot happening and you don't have one steady base. And my mind then gets very chaotic. So it's super important as well to make sure you can keep your focus, your calmness, your optimal health as an entrepreneur while you're traveling or while you're living abroad. And I just wanted to share some habits that I have purely as an example, because what works for me may not work for you. If you are prone to distraction, you may need something else than if you're prone to chaos. If you tend to work too much, then you're going to need something else than someone who works, I wouldn't say too little, but who could maybe work a little bit more. So this is just as to give you an idea of what I do and what my habits are, but you want to come up with your own. What do you need to thrive, to feel good, to be successful, and to do your best work? So one of my habits that I do is that I have my weekly CEO check-in. Every single Monday morning, I do this check-in. I think in the last year and a half, I only missed it twice because I was traveling, like really on holidays. But even when I'm traveling and I'm mixing work with fun, or not work, it's just mainly events, events with fun, I still do this Monday morning check-in. And it's a simple Word document where I look at the past week, what I achieved, my lessons learned. I review my numbers, like leads coming in, followers, etc., and revenue, obviously. And I look at the week ahead, what I want to achieve, who I need to be for that, and also what are my needle-moving tasks for the week. So it's very easy to stay in this field of like thinking about the next couple of weeks, the things that are really on your to-do list, but you also want to include activities that are going to move the needle for you or for your business in the longer term. And you want to make space and time for that. So I always add at least one activity of that as well to the list. Other habits that I have is that I have bi-weekly calls with my peers. I speak to them more often, but the calls are like scheduled. I have designated days to coach. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is when I coach. Monday, Friday is when I do different kind of work, deeper work, marketing, creation. Right now, I'm giving the Copilot a complete revamp, upgrade. It's going to be wonderful. I'm so excited. And I do that mainly on Mondays and Fridays, because then I have the time and space to really go into that energy of the co-pilot. But other things that I do, it sounds a bit silly, but I unpack straight away the moment I arrive somewhere or when I return home. Until a couple of years ago, I would always leave my suitcase for a couple of days and just slowly do my laundry and clean it up. And I know a lot of people do that as well. I was recently talking to someone who said, Amanda, like, do you have a tip for me? Because I live this nomadic life and I'm just curious what you do. And I shared this tip of unpacking straight away. And she said, oh yeah, because my suitcase is always there for 4 or 5 days. And I feel so in limbo. Like, I feel jet lagged. I feel neither here nor there. And I'm like, yeah. And the suitcase really helps with that. So because I travel a lot and because I have my own business, I cannot and I don't want to afford losing time. And so it's really important for me that I am where I am. I am present in the location that I'm in. So unpacking my suitcase tells my brain, like, okay, we're here. We're now back in the Netherlands. It's 9 a.m. You know, it's morning here. You're here now. And there's no time to, I don't know, think about the trip you went on to or to stay in that weird adjustment phase long enough. So that's something that I do as well. I also have every launch and every quarter, which are usually tied together, I do a debrief of how my launch went. So I look back to the numbers as objective data. And I also set goals for the coming quarter and for the launch. I do this every quarter. And I usually reserve a whole morning for it because I want to make sure that my quarterly goals and activities are leading me to my bigger goal. So that is a habit I have as well. And I also do a month, like a quick monthly check-in as well. I have all my tech processes streamlined as one habit. It's all automated behind the scenes. But also, I used to have so many notebooks lying around everywhere. And when I started traveling, I was like, yeah, this doesn't work. So now it's almost all digital. And I also make sure I have a habit of putting myself in the right environment. So I know that I need alternation in my environment to keep my creativity going and just my energy. And so if I'm too long in The Hague, I make sure I leave the house. I work in a co-working space, but also once a week, I go outside of The Hague to be elsewhere with different kind of people in a different environment to stimulate that creativity and to just keep having my spark. That is a habit that I put in for myself because I know I need it, but maybe you need more habit of having one base, you know? So decide for yourself what habits you need to have to make sure you can become that successful globetrotting CEO. And then finally, and I think this is the nicest one, that is to have your tribe. You want to have your own supportive community where you feel at home. And this one is so, so, so key. You already know this as an expat. You know that you need to have a community or like some social circle that understands you, right? Because you are an outsider. As an entrepreneur, you're also a bit of an outsider because you're the minority, because most people are employees. And so you want to find your own tribe with people, like-minded people who get you, who speak the same language. So from the very start of my business, I found communities. I had my own little mastermind group in the beginning, which I found through a course. We have now dissolved, but we still see each other twice a year. And then later, I also found a lot of mostly women entrepreneurs, international entrepreneurs in The Hague. It's a community that I set up. And now, since joining the program of my business mentor, James Wetmore, I joined his main course, Business by Design, but I also joined his Next Level program, which is a year-long program with 2 Next Level retreats in person in the US and his bigger event at the end of the year also in the US. And so 3 times a year, I now travel to the US and I meet all my people there. And the reason why I joined Next Level was because I was at his bigger event and I just felt so at home with them. I remember texting my family about something that was going on for me and they didn't even respond. And I was just walking around with tears in my eyes because there were people I had just met for 5 minutes and we already had conversations at such a level about such topics that right away were like, oh yeah, this is what I care about. This is important to me. This is what, you know, lights up my heart. And it gave me tears in my eyes because I felt so at home with all these strangers. And now when I go back to my next level events, you know, they're my friends now. And we speak the same language because not only are we business owners, we are also speaking in the language of this business program with its own language, basically, and the terms that we use and the strategies that we have. And so it becomes very easy to right away go into the nitty-gritty stuff. So at these events, I learn a lot from the speakers on stage, but I also learn a lot from my peers when we have a drink or over lunch in between. And within 2 minutes, we're talking about CPL, EPL. Now, you don't know what this means, but it means cost per lead, earnings per lead. This is all in that program. And we talk about ad spend and tactics, and it's amazing. But it's not just about the tactical business stuff. It's also really about the support, or actually it's mostly about the support. Because a couple of months ago, I had a hard time. I already shared a little bit about it here. Well, a hard time is a bit exaggerated, but I was struggling a little bit. I kind of lost my spark. And it was February here, and it was hard here in winter. And also, my business didn't generate the results I was aiming for at that time. So I was spiraling a little bit, and it took me a lot of inner work to really detach from the outcome and to not have the pressure, you know, take over me and stress take over me so that I couldn't function anymore. And it took me a couple of weeks to get there, but I got there through the support of my peers. So I reached out to them. We had conversations, we had calls, there were WhatsApp messages all the time. And I got so much support, emotional support, but also practical support with tips that I wasn't thinking of yet to really give it a positive spin. And not just for the results, but also on how I felt. Because, you know, business is supposed to be fun. I chose this because I wanted to enjoy this life more than being a diplomat. It's so easy to get caught in this tension and stress, especially as an entrepreneur, when you need to make money. And we forget sometimes, just like expats do, that we are here to enjoy it as well, to enjoy the ride. And you need to detach from the outcome and detach from the emotional pressure and really make sure that you have the space to think big, like I was saying in the mindset pillar. And so they were there for me, and it was amazing support that I could truly lean on. And it's hard for me to ask for support and to lean on other people, but I was able to do that with them. And I'm so grateful still for their help. And now I'm returning the favor as they are in their launches and going through some challenges. And we're all just brainstorming ideas for each other. And everyone is so happy for each other. We have a Facebook community as well, where everyone shares their debriefs of their launches. And someone that I know, last year in quarter one, I think, yeah, he generated, I don't know, $18,000. This quarter, he generated $119,000. And I know him, and I'm so happy for him. There's zero jealousy. It's just like, oh yeah, if he can do it, then so can I. His win is my win. It really feels that way in that community. And that is so important to have that. If you are an entrepreneur, and especially if you are single, and especially if you are traveling or living abroad, because you need to rely so much on yourself already. And to have that group of like-minded people who also got your back no matter what, that is so key, so important for your success. So if you don't have your tribe yet, go find them. You can also join my list, the Globetrotter CEO. I might organize a few more community events there, like the call we had yesterday. I highly recommend you to join the program from my business mentor, James Wetmore, because there's a huge Facebook community as well. And you get a ticket to his big live event in December, which is so much fun. So find your tribe, whether that's through the two things that I just mentioned or just elsewhere. And someone asked me yesterday, does it always have to be through a paid entrance? And I said, no, I found my group here in The Hague. I created that group of female entrepreneurs using a Facebook group. It was all for free. So if you can't find your tribe, go create it. Just be specific in what you're looking for and what's important to you so you attract the right people, just like your niche. Okay, those were the four pillars. And there were two underlying things that I just wanted to highlight as well, because I think they're important for the entire process. And that is one, that you want to have a vision of where you're going to or where you want to go to. because there are going to be setbacks and you're going to question yourself and your energy is going to be low at times and you might not want to push all the time. And so to have a vision that naturally fuels you is so important. And I have mine. I see it like it's clear. And I don't need to tell myself, oh, I need to get back to work today. No, because my vision is so attracting me, pulling me towards it, that I have this natural, like, yes, let's go, let's make it happen energy all the time, almost all the time. So have your vision clear. If you don't have it yet, spend some time journaling, do some future self-visualizations. I offer them as well. If you are interested in having a visualization, just send me a DM. Just make sure that you leave the day-to-day noise sometimes to connect to that vision. And I do that sometimes daily. Today, I started my day again with a future self-visualization. And it puts me in that right energy. And the second thing that is important too is that you're able to ask for help. Now, I already mentioned it a couple of times, but I think for every pillar, it is so important or useful if you can call in external help, whether that's through your tribe or a paid mentor or whatever. With your niche definition, you know, I had business mentors from the start and they helped me pick my niche better or determine it better. With the business strategies, for sure, I hired help. And my tribe, I found it through my business mentor. And also with the mindset work, you know, I've always hired coaches, and also my business mentors pay a lot of attention to the mindset work. So throughout my entire process in these 3.5 years, I always had external help, and I will always tell everyone, every business starter, hire help. And whether that's a big year-long program or just a course that you do at your own pace, that's up to you, as long as you keep going and get into action, because that's another important one. Stop overthinking it. Just experiment. See this data. Is it working? Do you like it? Great. Keep going and refine it. If it's not working or you're not enjoying it, you'll just pivot again. But get into action. Stop overthinking everything. Okay, these were the four pillars and the two extra things that I think are important for your success as the Globetrotter CEO who has a successful business and that global lifestyle. And if you want to dive deeper into this, I'm just going to say one more time, follow my business mentor, James Wedmore, and step into his program. I am such a huge fan of this guy and of his team, because he has a team of coaches as well that are amazing. Just after this call, I'm joining a coaching call by one of his coaches. And, you know, I learned so much from him in this course that he has, Business by Design. He talks about all these strategies and it's all the tactics and what you need to do. But there's also a lot of mindset work. It's about learning to set goals for yourself. It's about defining your ascension model. So you have a pyramid of your offer and the peak is the most expensive and the most exclusive time with you. And lower are more affordable options with less one-on-one time with you, or no one-on-one time at all. And so you are going to build your own ascension model. You are going to choose what strategy you want to use, and you can then follow all the steps that he has outlined for you. I'm doing the same when I'm launching the Copilot again next month. I have this webinar launch strategy that I just follow to the T, to the D, to the T, I think. Gosh, there is so much in there. It also comes with a little bonus, Nail Your Niche. Well, it's not a little bonus. It's a good training. So if you are unsure of your niche and you don't know where to start yet, he offers that inside of his program as well. And I really, really recommend this one. I have yet to find another business mentor that is so thorough, so complete, and also combining both the business stuff and the important mindset work with a sprinkle of spirituality, which I love as well. So for me, it's the perfect business mentor or perfect business environment. And I highly recommend it. I have put a link in the show notes. So if you are curious, go have a look, because it is amazing. And he's opening doors to his program again in June. So make sure you don't miss out on that date, because it's only open for a couple of days. All right, if this episode was useful for you, let me know. It's always nice to get feedback from you guys. You can also sign up for my email list, The Globetrotter CEO, where I occasionally share business tips that I don't share to my general email list, because I don't want to spam them with my business stuff. Yesterday, someone in the call asked me if I was going to pivot to business coaching. And I said, no, I love my expats, but I do this occasionally on the side. And she said, yeah, because I'm interested. I want to hire you. And that was such a nice compliment to receive, because I really enjoy thinking along with people about, you know, how can you set up your business? What are smart moves to make? How can we make this more concrete? I love brainstorming content as well for other people. So yeah, anyway, that's I'm not offering that right now. But it is a topic that I really enjoy talking about. So I'd like to do that to a separate list. And also, if you join Business by Design through me, you will also get bonuses with me. And there will be several live calls. There will be content brainstorming together. There will be Q&As. There's going to be a lot more. And I'll include the link to the bonuses that you'll get if you join BBD through me, as I'm partnering up with James. So just check the show notes if you're interested in that. All right, that's it for now. Have a wonderful day where you are. And if you are getting into action with your business, let me know. I'd love to applaud you from the sidelines. Bye-bye.